Hey everyone, welcome back to Wonderland on Points. It is Joe here. I actually just wanted to pop in before this episode started because we recorded this very quickly after the built announcement came out, but there was a little bit of an outcry from the people that caused Built to do some very quick shifting and come up with a second option for everyone. So at the end of this episode, right before the outro music, I'm going to go ahead and record an explanation of the second option. And I think it will make a little bit more sense after you've heard the entire episode. So I wanted to wait until the end for you guys to hear that. But I just want you guys to know that as we were recording, that information had not dropped yet. So we are going entirely off of their first iteration of 2.0. And the additional information will be there for you at the end of the episode if you need a little bit of an explanation on how all of that works. We had a fantastic episode with Zach Griff, and we are so excited for you to hear it right now. So I'm going to go ahead and roll it. Have you ever saved all year for that one family vacation and ended up stressed out about every single dollar?
Not anymore. Hi, I'm Mary Ellen.
And I'm Joe. We're two busy moms who have cracked the code on travel with points and miles.
We're here to show you how we turn everyday expenses into extraordinary vacations.
This is Wonderland on Points, where we share tips and tricks to help you earn free and deeply discounted travel.
Let the adventure begin. It's time for another episode of Wonderland on Points, and we are so glad you're here. This is going to be a hot episode, everybody, because there is big, big news in the points and miles world, and that is Built has finally released their new Built 2.0 cards. There are three choices. We are going to get into all of it. And we have an expert here with us. We have Zach Griff. Zach is formerly of the Points Guy. He worked with the Points Guy for a long time, and now he is independent. He has a fantastic newsletter, which we will have the link for in our show notes so that you can sign up. It's called From the Tray Table. He is bringing his vast knowledge of points and miles and giving us all the insider info. I have personally been following the newsletter and really enjoying it. So Zach, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. So excited to be here, share a little bit more about all the things Built. It's funny, I was just at the kind of Built launch event, so got a lot of intel on what's happening, and it's really confusing. But, you know,
yes.
And it's crazy because you look at the comments and just even on my own Instagram from the newsletter, it's like I'm getting hundreds of questions about things that are just, they're confusing.
That's 100% been my take as well, that it is too confusing. And so I think that that is an issue. We're going to try to break it down for people today, help everybody understand it. But I don't know. I got to say, I think that I will get into it, but I think it's an issue. I think it's an issue
feelings.
That it's too confusing.
I have milder feelings, but yes, I do. I'm excited to dig into it. Before we go down the Built rabbit hole, tell everybody a little bit about you and how you got started in this world, how you got started, you know, writing for the Points Guy, when it turned from a hobby into a career. We're super interested in your background.
You know, it's funny. I often tell folks that I actually kind of stumbled into this. I had always been, like so many of us, like into credit cards and points and wanting to maximize. In high school, I remember my dad had signed up for a card and I was helping them with the Amex points and everything. But basically, I went to work after college in a consulting firm, was doing a lot of traveling, but would read a lot of stories. This was way back when. And the Points Guy was like the site at the time. And obviously there are a bunch of sites now and, you know, different outlets and bloggers. But I found a posting to be one of their first like employees on, you know, travel and cards. And I knew all the stuff. I just never wrote about it or posted about
right.
it. I spent 7 years there. Doing all of that. And so covering things on airlines, loyalty programs, credit cards, points, miles, general travel. From I'm now a new dad, family travel. And really towards the end of those kind of 7 years at TPG, I realized like, hey, I built up my own brand. So if you're not kind of follow, you don't know who I am on social at Zach Griff. Just type Zach, Z-A-C-H Griff. You'll see kind of my stuff there. And I kind of built up a lot of that platform to the point where it's like, I want to go independent. Media is moving into a world in which there's so much value placed on the personality and the independence.
Right.
With the rise of newsletter. And so I'm like, okay, great. Well, I like to write. I already have all the social at Zach Griff. And so where does that writing live? And so that writing now lives at From the Trade Table, which is my newsletter. I send it, it's free. Send it 2 to 3 times a week. There's no AI. I'm curating it all myself. I'm putting out insights and, you know, sharing things. And so it's been great. It's just, you know, I feel like I'm back where I was 7 years ago. Starting fresh
and as a new dad. So everyone here, all of our listeners, so many of our listeners, our families, our moms with kids. We got some dads in here too, but a lot of moms with kids. So we are excited for you to be on this new fatherhood journey. Your child is only about a year old, right? So you've just gotten into the fun part.
We are hit the tray table, hit the TV screen of the seat in front of you. of travel. And actually, it's so funny because we were heading down to the Dominican Republic over the Christmas. And our daughter, she was just kind of had a lot of energy. And she was just rolling on the carpet of the floor of the airport. And I was biting my mouth. And she was smiling and laughing and having an amazing time. And it was just whatever.
You know what?
Couple years ago, even have like, what would you have thought, right? If you saw that before you were a father. And now we all know that scene very well.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The whatever I feel like is kind of the reigning word of parenthood. It's like, okay, who knows what's on that floor? Who knows what people are thinking? Whatever, you are happy. Also, if you've never brought a roll of painter's tape with you on a plane with your child, let me tell you, that'll keep them entertained for hours. If you have not seen any viral painter's tape airplane reels, they're about to start popping up in your algorithm because we're having this conversation, but it's a game changer for plane entertainment.
Listen, I don't get them yet. I'm still stuck on like the points, miles, the credit cards, you know, how to hack your travel, which I'm happy to be, but I will say that I am in desperate need. It was so easy at the beginning traveling with her, you know, she was,
yeah.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months. And it just like, it was like kind of flip a switch. And now it's pretty crazy.
Yep. Yes. As soon as they're mobile, it is nuts. But also you have to keep in mind that you've got basically what, 1 year left until she starts costing money. So you still want to go tons of places.
I gotta tell you both. I have been paying for seats. I have, thankfully, one of the things that I'm good at, and I think I'm good at least. People tell me they like my insights on points and miles. I am an expert at boosting my balance to the point where I can afford the extra economy seat using Alaska miles for the American flight. And it's like, yeah, I would love to save them, but it makes it so much better.
That does make sense. Having an actual space where maybe you guys can confine your child right in the middle or something, I can see the benefit. My daughter, I had her far before I ever got into points and miles. So it is nice to have that as an option. Just one added benefit for families traveling on points.
So, for sure.
I love all of this. This is such a fun journey. I'm sure we could talk parenthood with you all day. It's kind of our thing, but I do feel like we should focus in a little bit on Built. So we have these new 3 options. We've got the blue card, which has no annual fee, the $95 annual fee Obsidian card, and the $495 annual fee Palladium card. And these are points earning cards, but also cashback cards. We're putting that in quotation marks because it's a very strange system. So can you break down the way that these cards earn for our audience as if they've never heard of any of this yet?
Yeah. And I think like that's what we should, everyone should start there, even if you have heard of Built, because it's really confusing. I actually just was posting before we started recording the concept of where Built was to where it is now. It's like you need a PhD.
Yes.
That's why you have us. And that's like what I think about all day long for sure. So here's the high level. Basically, you know, there's multiple components to the Built program. Built has become an ecosystem around your neighborhood, or that's at least what they're trying to become. And so what that means is they're wanting to work with local restaurants, local drugstores, local, you know, rideshare, fitness classes, of course, housing buildings and housing companies with mortgages and things like that. But they are basically trying to intertwine your neighborhood in a way such that it is rewarding for you. And then they layer on this loyalty program and now these cards. But effectively, if you think about it, Bilt's got two kind of big levers for us in the points and miles world. The first is the points, and those are just like they've been for the past many years, redeemable on travel, transferable to partners, highly valued. I use them all the time in really like unique ways. You can send them to Alaska. You can send them to Hyatt. So those points, nothing's changing. If anything, Bilt says they're going to get better. They'll have more transfer partners. I mean, it's kind of crazy. They added Spirit recently, and like people don't really think of Spirit as like, you know, all that great, but you know, Spirit redemptions are super cheap. And I have topped off my account with points and sent it their way. So that's one thing to kind of consider. But anyway, so they've got points, and they're really introducing this new currency now as in tandem with the launch of these cards, what they're calling Bilt Cash. Bilt Cash is not just like cash back on your card like you might get on some of the other just straight up cash back cards. It's probably the wrong term to use. If anything, I think Bilt should have probably thought of some other marketing term to reference this. But Bilt Cash is going to be that key for you to unlock earning points on rent and mortgages going forward. Previously, it used to be all you needed to do was make 5 transactions a month, Bilt what they call it the iconic 5 bananas. The savviest of folks would go to the store, buy 5 bananas on 5 separate transactions, and then earn all their points on rent. Going forward, it is entirely it's rooted in an equation that includes what's called Bilt Cash to determine how many points you actually earn on those rent and mortgage payments. But it's confusing, and Bilt Cash will have other redemptions. They have not published them, which I actually think is a fault of Bilt.
Yes.
I think that, you know, they have this new currency and they're really, you're calling it cash, but it's not entirely clear how exactly you can use it outside of just this one use case. And possibly that's the best use case, but it's also possible that other people may want to get the card and use it for other things. And we don't know yet.
It felt slightly dishonest to be told, well, there's never going to be a fee for paying your rent or your mortgage, which is technically true. There's not a fee. But if you want to earn the full points, you have to pay this entire fee, which is 3% of your mortgage or your rent, and you have to pay it with Bilt Cash. It sounds like if you don't have enough Bilt Cash, essentially what happens is you earn less points on your rent or mortgage. Is that correct?
Yeah. So Bilt has really come out by saying there are still no fees on paying your rent or mortgage, and now mortgage, which I think the first thing to say for anyone who's listening who has never been in part of Bilt because you've been own a house and have a mortgage as opposed to rent, like you should be not evaluating this new card versus the old days. Like This is new to you. This is really exciting. And there's something really exciting about being able to earn points on mortgages, even if it's not the equivalent of the old value proposition. But so going back to the fee versus no fee. So there is no fee to make a payment on your rent or mortgage with the new Bilt cards. Stop. Period, like no fee, no 3%, nothing like that. That said, the money that you pay towards that mortgage or rent payment will pull directly from your bank account. There's no floating it as part of your credit. And if you don't use your card for anything else that month, you will not earn a point at all on that payment. So effectively what they're doing is they are tying Bilt Cash to the ability to earn those points on the rent and mortgage payment. They are letting you make it for free, but at the same time, I could also go and give them my bank account directly to the rent or mortgage, you know, broker provider, and there'd be no difference to paying with a Bilt card versus going direct, because you know I wouldn't be earning points if I'm not also spending on the card. And so Bilt Cash is really the conduit through which it enables you to earn those points on rent and mortgage payments.
Right. Man, it is, you have to really think about it. And it drives me crazy. Earlier you said, you know, you have to have a PhD. And I think that is their big flaw in all this. I think it's a big flaw. We're going to get into it. But my husband, he actually does have a PhD and he made a perfect score on the math part of the SAT. I will throw that out there. He is a smart man. I gave this to him. I was like, can you read over this? Okay. Is this easy to understand? And he read an article, he read another article, he asked several follow-up questions. It took a while for him to say, okay, I have it now. Like, I understand it all now. And that is a problem. Because you need, just like writing articles, people who write for magazines, write online, you know, they say you have to make it for someone at about a third grade reading level. You normal people who are not smart, who do not have a PhD, should be able to read this. And we're all smart. We're all smart in our own way, our own beautiful way, Joanna. But we should be able to read and understand this. I mean, it is such a mistake, I think, for it to be this confusing. And I'm sure they tried. I'm sure they tried to make it where we could all understand it, but it's a struggle. Okay, but you're helping us though today. You are really helping us, Zach. It's going to sink in, and by the end of this episode, I think everybody is going to understand it a little bit better and be able to make an informed decision about whether this is the right, you know, way to go for them. So tell us right off the bat now, before we really dig into the three cards, does any one of the cards stand out above the other in terms of overall value? Like, which one of the three do you think is the real winner?
Before we get there, I just want to do one plug for a very quick and easy math equation that I worked out over the many hours I've been pouring over this. I shared it in my newsletter. But basically, for those who want to just make a very quick across all the bill cards calculation for how many points they're going to earn on rent that month or mortgage payment, it is your monthly spending. You times that by 1.33, and that will equal the number of monthly points that you could maximally earn from rent or mortgage payments. So, you know, make it super, super simple. You spend $1,800 a month on your bill card. You times that by 1.33. That gives you 2,400. That would be the maximum number of points you could earn from a rent or mortgage payment that month. And if your rent or mortgage is higher, you're capped. If it's under, you spent a lot and some of that spending can roll over to the next month to kind of to earn that fee out, to earn those points. But that's a very simple, doesn't really think, I mean, it includes built cash in kind of the background there with the 1.33, but you know, everyone's asking for, that's what Built should have done. They should have just published this freaking formula, made a very simple slider on their website, and not kind of made it so convoluted, which I think is a flaw of the program.
Yes, absolutely.
I saw your reel with that, and I screenshot it. In the reel, you're like, screenshot this. Then you have the formula. And I did do that. So everyone, if you missed that formula, we'll try to have it in the show notes, but also on Zach's social media, you can find that great reel.
Yeah. And so I think like I'm always thinking, and all of us are thinking, how do we simplify this? That's one way to simplify it. But speaking of simplifying, so the cards, they are not exactly simple. There are three entirely different value propositions. You know, when I think about the cards, I think of the blue card as, you know, what's the point, basically? Mm-hmm. If you're going to, yes, there's no annual fee, but you could do so much better elsewhere than, you know, kind of holding the blue card. If you're thinking about blue, you might as well either look elsewhere or go up to an Obsidian or a Palladium card. Now, the Obsidian Palladium are two different products for two different type of people.
For
I think
sure.
Obsidian is more of that mid-tier card that feels more in the bucket of the other $95 annual fee cards that are out there right now. So it's giving you a choice of 3x points on dining or grocery as your multiplier. Everything else is at 1x. And it's good. I would say, is it great? Probably not. There are definitely other cards. Now, of course, Built points I find to be far more valuable, for instance, than Chase, Amex, Citi. I'm using them. And yeah, it's very easy to use them for a really good redemption rate, especially with all their transfer bonuses and things. But to me, the winner, if they're of all, is really the Palladium card. And that's, no question, expensive. $500, $495 on an annual fee is not cheap. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. I have enough cards that have even higher than that annual fees that I am not excited about spending $500 out of my pocket on a new card. But the card is valuable, especially in the first year. So you're earning 50,000 points, sign-up bonus, and $300 built cash after, and gold status for a year, after spending $4,000 in the first 3 months. That's, if you can unlock that, the card almost pays itself, at least for the first year.
Yes.
You also earn 2x points on every dollar you spend, which is a very unique value proposition, because really, we don't really see that here other than, you know, for instance, a Capital One Venture X credit card, which is offering 2x miles on basically everything. But if I'm doing a Bilt versus Capital One head to head, in terms of the points themselves, I'd prefer to earn Bilt points than Capital One miles.
That's the card I'm seeing it compared to the most.
Yes.
The most people seemingly online are talking about it compared to the Capital One Venture X. And you're right, Bilt, there's no denying that they have the best transfer partners in the game. And that's really, honestly, the only reason I'm considering this card. And I am considering it, the Palladium card. Mm-hmm. But it is predominantly because of their really, really strong transfer partners. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I'm also considering this card, even though I generally stay away from the higher annual fees, just because, as we tell our listeners all the time, like, a lot of times if you can dig into these benefits, yes, there is an offset, but you have to make sure that your specific budget, exactly where you are, has the space to immediately be paying $500 right now. It's great if you have the margin to be prepaying for some of your travel, but for some of us that are out here with very middle-class jobs and not a lot of extra margin, it's definitely something to be taken into consideration. I think the thing about this card that makes it so valuable for our audience is the fact that it gives you that status that allows you to keep doing your Rakuten transfers one-to-one to Bilt. And that is, I think, what our audience cares about most, to be honest, because we teach people how to rack up, no pun intended, a ridiculous amount of points on Rakuten through our normal spending. We're earning 75,000, 100,000 plus points a year. And if we can't transfer those one-to-one to Bilt anymore because we don't have that status, then we're probably all just going to switch back to Amex. None of us are going to want to go 2-to-1. And this card is the only one out of the three that comes with that automatic status. So for that first year, especially with the 50,000 points and then the ability to keep the status in these transfers, I think it's something, if people can do a little budget shuffling to make it happen, I can see the benefit really being there at least for a year. And then maybe you consider downgrading to the Obsidian, maximizing that grocery spend, because we certainly all spend enough in groceries with our families over here, and figuring out how to maybe spend your way into that status. I don't know. There's a lot of things spinning around in my head about all of this. And we were actually shocked about the 50,000 points because we heard straight out of Richard's mouth at Travelmore that there would never be a traditional welcome offer on any of the Bilt cards. Like, he said that.
It's certainly different. It's welcome, no pun intended. I am thrilled. I think without the welcome bonus, the Palladium card becomes a really tough sell for this year.
Yeah.
In general. Because that is, to me, what pushes it kind of into the world in which I can find $500, $495 to pay the annual fee, because I use my Bilt points so much and just value those partners so much. Without it, though, I think that Bilt must have realized that they would probably not get too many signups on that card without something lucrative.
Yeah. I want to point out, too, and correct me if I'm wrong, Zach, because I think you have a fuller understanding of this. With the Palladium card, the status that you get, it reads almost like a Southwest Companion Pass. You get it for the rest of the year that you sign up and the full next year. But it's not that you automatically forevermore have that status you are a cardholder.
Absolutely. That is exactly how, and it's part of the sign-up bonus. The sign-up bonus is the points plus the gold status, which is earned for the remaining of the calendar year, so theoretically it'd be 2026 and 2027. And I mean, there are a few things to consider there, right? If I fast forward in my mind, if I sign up for this card by January 30th, which is when the pre-orders close, I will hit my annual fee next year on January 30th, 2027. Do I keep the card? Do I downgrade it? One thing that we don't know is what will happen to that gold status if you did downgrade your card.
Yeah.
Does that with your account? And you know, if you go down to Blue or Obsidian and just maybe make your Rakuten transfers that way, but you really don't know.
Right. It makes it difficult.
I think if that Obsidian card had come with the silver status, That also would have been interesting to me because, mm-hmm. again, like Joe said, one of my biggest concerns or interest in Built is keeping that one-to-one transfer ratio with Rakuten. So I think I was disappointed to see that status didn't play a bigger role in these cards, including that Obsidian card.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. And that the flip side, I think what Built would argue is now you're earning those status points based on how much you spend, and the more you spend on the card, you'll kind of earn more status and more qualifying points. You know, listen, there are Hilton cards, there are Marriott. A lot of our co-branded cards include some level of entry-level status. Maybe not on the $95 card, but even on the Palladium, if you paid $495, even if you don't hit the sign-up bonus, like maybe throw in silver. And then at least like the Rakuten transfers are one-to-one.
Yeah, I was trying to dig into, before we started, how much spend you actually have to do to earn these status levels. And for most of us who tend to chase sign-up bonuses, it's unrealistic to imagine any of us putting as much spend as required. I think silver was $10,000 in spend. But again, we're bouncing from card to card. And we're often not putting any kind of large amounts of spend outside of a sign-up bonus amount on these cards. So it's hard to imagine doing that outside of getting it from any one of these sign-up bonuses. I don't know.
Which is why they've set it up. They want us to put all our spend on that card.
You know, it's interesting because when I was speaking to the folks, Richard, and kind of the rest of the Built team over the last few days, they have talking a lot about the introduction of more transfer bonuses and other kind of limited time things to make it more exciting. And outside of just status, which could unlock those things, they're talking a lot about maybe using Built Cash to unlock some of like status for a day. So, you know, if you have Built Cash instead of earning the points, maybe you redeem some of it for gold status for a day. Mm. And that will unlock a higher level of a transfer bonus or maybe allow you to do 6 months of Rakuten at one-to-one or something like that. So it sounds like they're thinking about these things. But again, I think that if you pull the curtain back a little bit, it is just very confusing. Mm-hmm. Because there's just, if you think about what we've talked about so far, we've talked about cards, we've talked about Built Cash, we've talked about Built Points, we've talked about Built Status, we've talked about, you know, their transfer bonus, their rent day. That's like five different kind of products within just one ecosystem. And if I think about Capital One, one of the things that I love about it is it's simple. This is not simple.
No, it's not. And it's disappointing for us because our audience tends to be a lot of brand new people. And Built was in a position where this probably could have been the primary thing that we are recommending to people for where to start, just because their transfer partners are so exceptional. And then with the added bonus of Rakuten, we feel like this could have been like the ground level where we start with people to help them start seeing those rewards and redemptions really, really quickly. But because of how complicated they've made this, the last thing we want to do to anyone who's brand new to the points and miles hobby is try to explain points and miles as a concept in general and then like throw in all of these weird pieces to this program. I'm just a little disappointed all the way around because it had so much potential and we were so excited. And then it was like, oh, womp womp.
Yeah. I mean, I think, listen, for a lot of people who are especially new to Built with mortgage, because that was something you weren't able to do before, that is lucrative. There's no question. If you put spend on the card, it's lucrative. I think that if you're someone who also is willing to make the jump to Built and really invest in the ecosystem, maybe not even as someone who's just starting out here, but someone who knows kind of the game and realizing the value of the Built points, they want people who are willing to put that spend on them. And I think they should. That card, for instance, the Palladium card, like, is great for your non-bonus everyday spend. If you have enough of it, childcare expenses, whatever, like, great. Like, that card is valuable. But if you're someone who's a little bit more casual, it's not as lucrative as it was before. And it's not as lucrative as some of the other options that are on the table.
Right.
Yeah, that's what my husband and I were discussing, was just the need to go all in, which is what they want. You know, you really do have to weigh, are we willing to go that far all in and do the math? what is our mortgage? What's about 75% of our mortgage, to figure out how much we're going to have to actually spend on this card? And are we willing to do that? Can we do that? We still want to use our Amex Gold for groceries, for, you know, restaurants. We still want to get our really good multipliers elsewhere, but do we have enough of that everything else, that two times category that we normally use our VentureX for? Are we willing to shift that over? Let's go back to the Palladium card, because for my family, and like you mentioned, that's really probably the one worth most considering for a lot of people with a mortgage who may want to go all in on this. It has Priority Pass membership, as most of the other elite travel cards do. However, this is where it does shine versus the VentureX, because the VentureX took away the guest membership. So for families who want to get their kids into the Priority Pass lounge with them, the VentureX, you know, was really great for that, and now it's not going to be anymore. So let's clarify what kind of Priority Pass membership, because they are not all the same, that the Palladium card offers.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point, I think. It is the more traditional pre-devaluation Capital One VentureX Priority Pass. This is two guests. This is your bring two people in with you, no additional charge. Now, I don't know about you guys. I have a bunch of priority passes from all the different kind of premium cards that we have. And so I would love it if I could exchange that priority pass for something else in the built ecosystem.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Which, you know, we talked about yesterday with their, you know, which is something we talked about with the built folks. It'd be really cool, but no reception yet. I mean, obviously it's possible they may take that and do something with it. But it's something that I think, yeah, it's great. It's not a restaurant priority pass. You can't like go to like the priority pass, like affiliated restaurants and some of the terminals and get like a credit there. This is strict lounges, but with two guests. If you're a family, that's nice for sure. And I know that there was a lot of disappointment when Capital One made their change, and a lot of kind of backlash. And so this certainly a pro in my book.
That's so interesting that you say that. It's, you know, it's already so complicated that why not make this a choose your own adventure and say that you can trade out your Priority Pass membership for something else if you want it, because the City Strata Elite has become my card for that Priority Pass Select membership. I made peace with my VentureX not having it anymore. It's okay, because right now I have City Strata Elite and it has it. So you're right. That's a real, I have never heard someone mention that idea of what if we could kind of choose our own benefits. You're already complicated built, so why not make a little menu and you can choose this benefit or this benefit, almost like City Strata Elite does with their splurge credit, right? You can choose between these five choices of which one you want to redeem. That's very interesting. I like it.
I think the one thing though to mention is just like, you know, I think a lot of people kind of get lost a little bit around how like the Priority Pass even works. So, you know, in this case, the built Palladium card is one of those new world legend credit cards associated with MasterCard. And aside from getting into like boring economics, but basically, so by affiliating with World Legend and saying you're going to be this travel, you get a bunch built via their issuing relationship, can add in these kind of things that are included with the card. So it's a little bit, it's not like built is necessarily paying and issuing the Priority Pass directly with Priority Pass. Mm. They're doing it via MasterCard, which has big volume discounts. Like there is no way built is paying market rate for a Priority Pass on the other issuers. So it you know, that's kind of like the insight and analysis into, you know, why maybe this pick the menu thing might not necessarily work. That said, built, as you said, is like made it all about choice and complicated between all the different things we have to think about. Like, why not let us do it this way?
Yeah. I'm on board with this. Richard, are you listening? Three votes right over here. So let's talk about another perk of the card, which is the $400 a year in built travel, $200 split up, kind of like a resi credit. Do you have any experience using built travel? Do we feel like this is going to be an easy credit to use?
So this is going to be a built hotel credit. This is going to be broken up semi-annually like many other credits. So for Palladium is $400, Obsidian is $100. And it's going to be broken up semi-annually, hotel only. So any hotel that's in kind of the built ecosystem, you can book. Built does a really good job on their travel portal, both with hotels and now airlines, and making it a direct booking. So you can still earn like all your loyalty points and your elite credits and elite knights, and they make that and they disclose that very clearly to you during the booking process. And so that's great. And it is very much just like a rebate. You kind of click your coupon as you're going through and making the reservation. The rate parity is pretty good, meaning that, you know, if you go direct, you can probably find the same or very similar rate on Built. From some of the other portals, it's not that way. But, you know, breaking it up semi-annually is frustrating. Mm-hmm. You know, I much prefer when it's annual, like the Capital One credit. And so I don't have to think about it using it multiple times. $100 doesn't really move the needle for me on an Obsidian card, especially if the rate isn't entirely parity one-to-one. So if the rate is even $20 more with Bill and you're getting a $50 credit every half year, it's like, okay, well, then is it really only worth 30? So those things, I don't put dollar-to-dollar value on. Maybe if they were including flights or something, then it'd be a little bit closer to dollar-to-dollar, but with the hotels, at least for me, it's not.
And it has to be a two-night minimum, right? I can't stand the two-night minimum.
It is a two-night minimum stay. And that is, I mean, so you've got two big conditions, right? You've got semi-annual and two-night minimum stay. That is alone, like, especially for, listen, the Obsidian card's $95 a year. So sure, it's nice to have the hotel credit, but that's really not moving the needle.
I appreciate, though, that you can get your elite nights. So I'm very glad that Built has made sure of that. They know it's important to us. They know we want hotel status. And so being able to put in our numbers and get credits for those nights is great, because I have another card that I'm about to stay at a hotel for a couple nights just because we were trying to use the hotel credit and we don't get elite night credits for it. And I'm like, like, it really bothers me that we're going to be staying at a Hyatt hotel and I'm not going to get credit for it. What is this?
You know, one thing that I haven't built, and I want to follow up with them, is, you know, when you think about like big spending, so like insurance payments, tax payments, those things that are historically good ways to hit minimum spends and really grow your balance quickly. I don't have a good answer for whether, you know, they'll get approved, whether that will, you know, earn points as it would normally. So that's just kind of one outstanding question, kind of tangent, but like on my mind is like, how are the things that I'm doing right now to like hit minimum spends and hit maybe cap, like for instance, with Hyatt, I put a lot of spend on the credit card because I love globalist status and I don't often get to 60 nights organically. And so, you know, I'll put some extra spend on the credit card to kind of move that needle and get me closer to the elite nights that I need. You know, same could theoretically be possible with Built or more Built Cash and whatnot. I don't have an answer yet.
I saw one Reddit user. I was digging into Reddit yesterday, as a lot of people were with the news of this card and trying to understand it. I saw one Reddit user saying they did not think that you could pay taxes like you normally can with other cards. I don't know. I'm glad you brought that up. Everyone dig into that. Don't just automatically assume it when you're getting this card, because we still don't have clear answers on that.
Yeah. And I think like one of the things that Built could have done a better job at is had more answers from day one. I think that if I think about the program, and listen, I have a great relationship with the folks there. I think that I like them a lot. Richard and I were colleagues for many years at the Points Guy. We've, you know, been in the same circles for many years. I know a lot of the other folks there. This is not something to kind of tease out a little bit and figure out over time. I mean, I know that they may want to change the economics as things go, but you know, at least have like a very simple value prop from the start that covers everything. And I think that we're still missing a few key points.
At the risk of only talking about Palladium, I feel like we should just touch on the Obsidian card a little bit, although I feel like most of us don't really see the value there. And you've given quite a number of reasons why as well. There is something that we felt like everyone should know when it came to, and we touched on this a bit, the dining or groceries. So it's three times on dining or it's three times on groceries. But it's important for people to know that it defaults to dining. And then you've got 30 days to switch to groceries if you prefer that. And you can only change that selection once a year. So again, it's another one of these kind of just strangely and unnecessarily complicated features, in my opinion. But help everyone understand that beyond that 3%, there's like a little bit of a stacking opportunity. Help us understand the stack here when it comes to the 4% built cash versus the 3x points.
So that would mean basically you're getting points in built, which are redeemable for travel and, you know, statement credits for rent or mortgage payments. But that, so 3x grocery or dining, again, you have to be smart and savvy about making that choice. If it's grocery, it's capped at $25,000 a year in groceries. You know, it was something surprising to me because maybe they just expect no one to spend that much money a year on dining. And like at grocery stores, maybe people are buying gift cards and things and then loading them and hitting that pretty fast. But anyway, worth noting all the restrictions there. And then you will also get that 4% built cash on everyday purchases. But built cash is not cash. So that is, we talked about, you know, they're saying that you can use built cash for things like Lyft credits, for things like potentially fitness classes, Walgreens purchases. But we don't know redemption rates. We don't know what the cap would be there. And then, again, you can also use that to earn those points on rent and mortgages, which we do know the redemption rate. And that's kind of fixed and out there already.
What do you think about people who do not want to pay their mortgage with this or pay their rent with this? Just people who, like the transfer partners, are just looking for another good credit card, but not necessarily because of the rent or mortgage feature. Do you think there's any place for someone like that to choose one of these cards?
I mean, the only card you would really choose in that world would be Obsidian or Palladium. With the Obsidian, you'd have to be comfortable earning less points than the competition, but being knowing that bill points just go further than the competition's points. Mm-hmm. The Palladium card would be great for someone who just wants the 2x on everything. Very simple, good non-bonus spend. If you're doing a lot of non-grocery, non-dining, non-travel, that's great. But for every single card that's out there, you can do better with the competition. That said, you're not in the built ecosystem. And the built ecosystem is a place that I personally want to be in because of the transfer partners, the transfer bonuses, the ability to, you know, send points to exclusive places that I can't on any other of the competitors. But if you're someone who's comfortable with the competition, it's harder sell. And, you know, the other thing that's really unique is I'm sure you guys talk a lot about, and so many people double up on a Chase card, two Chase cards, two Amex cards, or, mm-hmm. you know, multiple, even three in some cases. They have two player mode. You've got, you know, you and a partner, a spouse. With built, it's one card. It's possible that they'll let you kind of make a choice. You know, there's no stacking, so you can't do Obsidian plus Palladium. If you could, that's starting to get to a place where, okay, so now you're getting 3x on groceries or dining. You're getting 2x on everything else. Could that potentially be a kind of a catch-all for all your spending and kind of leave the others? Like, maybe. But for someone who's not involved in rent and mortgages, I would say it's way too early to tell. And the reason why is because we don't know what happens with built cash for the other redemptions that aren't earning points on rent and mortgages.
Yeah, 100%. Aside from the new credit cards, maybe we should just give everyone a overview of everything else that Built has to offer just on their platform. So do you have some bullet points of why people were a fan of Built before any of this new stuff with all the complicated cards started to happen?
You know, when I kind of started, Built is really thinking of themselves as kind of your go-to neighborhood platform alliance. And so it covers things like earning bonus points on dining, on fitness, parking. They've got the Lyft partnership with Rideshare, pharmacy with Walgreens, experiences. So all of those things I just mentioned, you can be a free Built member, not have any credit card, and just earn bonus points on those categories mm-hmm. at certain dining. You know, certain restaurants, fitness studios, things like that. So Built is really a loyalty ecosystem that's built around your neighborhood on the things that you do every day that, yes, having a card kind of boosts your earnings and all the things, but I actually recommend Built for most people just to be a member. It's free, doesn't cost you anything, and you can earn more points, and you can link your third-party cards to Built. So, you know, it doesn't have to be a Built card. You can earn Built points bonus in addition to Amex, Chase, Cap One,
yes,
third party points. So that's kind of your neighborhood. They've got obviously the home component with rent and mortgage payments, but again, that is now tied to built cards. That said, I want to just highlight two things. They have a unique value proposition with United and with Alaska. And if you've got a specific co-branded cards with each of those airlines, you can actually earn bonus points on rent and mortgage payments. Certainly rent, maybe mortgage payments. On those cards when you pay your rent or mortgages through Bill. With Alaska, it's up to 3x. With United, it's 2x. Those are Alaska and United points and miles that you'd earn. You know, Built is this ecosystem. So it's not only about the credit card. There are all these other things that kind of make it a program to be a member of. And, you know, one thing that I think is like amazing and most people miss out on is in the rewards when you actually go and redeem flights and hotels with them through their travel portal, you earn extra Built points even if you're not using a Built credit card. Mm. And their program, when you go and redeem points directly for flights, for instance, you can earn more points. You can earn the points for the flight with your third-party credit card. So say that's, you know, Chase Sapphire Reserve or Amex Platinum. You earn those points because of the flight booking. You also earn additional Built points because you booked it through Built and you don't even have a credit card. You're just a member. And it's a direct booking. So if something goes wrong with your flight and you need to make a change, you do it directly with your airline as opposed to doing it through Built. So in many ways, it is a win-win-win for everyone. You sign up. Is it a win-win when you get a credit card? That's the subject of this conversation. But in terms of the alliance and what they've built in terms of the rewards program, like there's no reason to miss out. You've got rent day, you know, bonuses, transfer bonuses, earning, you know, extra point multipliers on things that you do, earning more at the local restaurants that you shop, that you dine at, and, you know, convenience and Walgreens and pharmacy and stuff. So certainly a lot of value to be had even without.
Absolutely. I mean, just the ability to link every credit card that you have in there and to be triggering these points without having to go in and select. It is nice for people who maybe never will consider a credit card that they have ways to earn these points as well. So we have always really been impressed with Built and really liked it. We just were not expecting such complicated announcements coming this month. And we're all reeling a little bit, but hopefully the audience is feeling a little bit more clear on it after hearing such a concise explanation from you.
Because we've never really had a full episode about Built before, will you just very briefly, because we've mentioned it probably 5 or 6 times in this episode, and yet I don't think we've ever really explained it to people. What is Rent Day for those who are not familiar with Built?
Okay, so Built was a platform when it was conceived as a way to pay rent and earn points on it. Now that they're doing so much more, Rent Day is going to change. But when it was, what Rent Day historically has been the first of the month, theoretically when rent is due, and they basically make it more rewarding for you. They increase the number of points you can earn on transactions. They offer special deals, special collabs. You can play trivia and earn some extra points through the app. They also have a new either transfer bonus or some 24-hour only special deal every single month, and it's different every single month. But obviously now that they've added mortgages, it's not going to be Rent Day anymore. The idea is to call it maybe Built Day or something like that. Will be the first of every month, but it will not look exactly like it did. For instance, extra points on your everyday spending, that is going to be changed. Again, that's one of the things that Built hasn't announced what it will happen, but they said it will change. It won't look exactly like it will today, but you'll still get those special things like transfer bonuses, like earning some type of bonus on points on the first of every month.
Okay, awesome. I just wanted to make sure because I realized we're talking about this and yet I don't know that it's completely clear for people and it's changing. So it's good to kind of go over. All right, I have one more question for you and you can plead the fifth if you need to, okay? Because I know you personally have a lot of relationships in this Points and Miles world. You've worked with people on a, you know, them on a personal level. But with the very swift rise and fall of Mesa this year, what confidence do you have as an expert, as someone who knows the ins and outs of the points world very well? What confidence do you have in Built to still be around in 5 years?
I think that I mean, it's a great question. It's something I think about all the time. You know, Bilt's previous iteration was not economically sustainable for them. Or for them, it was fine, but for Wells Fargo, which basically bankrolled all the free points for everyone. It's public knowledge. They pulled out of the deal early. They were losing money on it, and it was not sustainable. 2.0 for Bilt is an economically sustainable program. That's by design because they obviously want to be around in 5 years. You know, I think a lot of it will be determined based on how much you and I and all of our listeners and readers are using the program. The more you use it, the better it is for Bilt. The less, if it, you know, totally tanks in 2.0, no one signs up, whatever, like that is, they will go back to the drawing board and figure it out. Bilt has, you know, obviously incredible backers. They've built it up. That said, though, it will depend. Like, the program's economically sustainable now, but will people sign up? I think that's an open question. We've talked the pros, we've talked the cons. It's up to everyone now to make their decision and see. Do I think, you know, anything's going to happen in 12 or 18 or 24 months? No. What does the long term for Bilt look like, though? We're going to see that play out right now.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, I guess the big question is, are you going to be applying for one of these cards?
I still have some time. My mind is almost set on doing the Palladium. I would love to just run a few more numbers and make sure that I think that, you know, I think it's a no-brainer for year one for someone who values the sign-up bonus. Reevaluate afterwards and enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah.
I think that's how I'm thinking.
Agree. But I like hearing you say you're running numbers. We always caution people against the shiny card syndrome. It can be really exciting to be like, ooh, 50,000 Hyatt points, which is what these realistically will be for a lot of us. And so, yes, everybody needs to do their own math, follow that equation. I will link that reel from your Instagram, talking people through the equation in the show notes. So it's super easy for everyone to find. Before we close up, is there anything else that you learned in person at this event that our audience should know that we did not cover today?
I think that everyone at the event, the attendees, the kind of the biggest thing what a lot of us are talking about is just credit card fatigue. Mm-hmm. And I think it's real. Mm-hmm. And I think that everyone needs to feel like this is a real thing. You're allowed to feel it. It's normal. This does not make it easier. It's like very confusing. We've talked a lot about it. And so just know, even for someone like me who thinks about this all day, every day, and attends all the events and hears it from the source directly, like, this is confusing. There is fatigue. And, you know, it just is what it is.
Thank you for that.
When you combine fatigue with ADHD, it doesn't end well for the confusing party. So we move on. So we'll see. We shall see. Zach, thank you so much. We are just so glad that you took time out of your day to join us. Remind everybody where they can find you online, how they can sign up for your newsletter, all those good things, because I'm so excited to continue following you. I learned of you somewhat recently, and I'm so glad. So glad I found my way to your newsletter, and I know other people will be too.
I mean, I so appreciate that. So I am on all social media channels. You just type in Zach Griff on your search browser. You'll find me. A fun fact, I was actually late to the game on Instagram that someone has my name Zach Griff, so I had to put an underscore there.
Oh, no.
I've DM'd that person like maybe every 6 months offering them to like, hey, could we swap? You know, his account is locked with maybe like 30 followers. But he's seen it and has never replied to my messages, which is whatever.
Okay.
So just type in Zach Griff, Z-A-C-H-G-R-I-F-F. You will find me. And then for the newsletter, it is called From the Trade Table. You can type that into Google, From the Trade Table. You'll find the site and there will be a big subscribe button. I promise it's free. Having me in your inbox, I believe, will make you a smarter, better spender, traveler, redeemer of points, just thought person in travel and points and miles.
Excellent. And I'm also going to make that very easy for all of you and put that URL in the show notes below. So super easy. You can find a link to the social medias, a link to the newsletter, all the places. Make sure you are following Zach because he is, in fact, a wealth of knowledge. Very good person in this points and miles hobby to be following if you want to be maximizing all of the things. So thank you again so much, Zach, for giving us your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. And also, any questions, hit me up on the DMs and comments. I'm in them. I'm seeing them. I think that's the best way to engage.
Thank you so much.
See you next time, everybody.
As promised, I am back to explain the second iteration of Built 2.0. So you've just heard a very long breakdown of all of the first things that 2.0 was supposed to bring us and all of our very candid thoughts on that. Well, it seems that the rest of the Points and Miles world was feeling very similarly to how we were. Everybody was confused and a little disappointed. So Built has responded to that with essentially a second option. So we're back to the whole choose your own adventure thing. In the first scenario, you can choose everything we laid out in this episode. You can choose to earn the Built cash, redeem your Built cash for the transaction fees that allows you to earn points on the full amount of your rent or mortgage. Their second option for you now, it sounds like, is going to be an option to forego the earning of Built cash whatsoever. It sounds like the card will earn points, but it will not earn Built cash. And instead, the way that you determine how many points you will earn on your rent or mortgage is by the percentage that you are spending on your card during the month. So it sounds a little confusing when I say it like that. But I'm going to give you an example. Let's say someone has a $2,000 rent or mortgage. If you spend 25% of $2,000 on your card in the course of a month, that's $500, you get half a point on your rent, 0.5x points. So you wouldn't get 2,000 points, you would get 1,000 points. If you spend 50%, which would be $1,000 in this example, on your card every single month, you would get 0.75x points. If you spend at least 75% of your monthly rent amount in the course of a month, so you would need to be putting $1,500 outside of the amount of your rent or mortgage on the Built card, you would then get the full 1x points. So you would get the full 2,000 points on your rent or mortgage. And then what they've added to this category, as it feels like a little bit of a bonus, is that if you spend 100% or more, meaning in this example, if you spend $2,000 or more on this card outside of your rent and mortgage in the course of a month, you will actually earn 1.25x. points. So you will get a little bit of a bump on your points, which for some people could be really nice. There are still some major issues with this, and we really brought them up in the course of the episode because honestly, both of these things require the same thing. They require a lot of spend outside of rent or mortgage on a singular card. That is not what most of us are doing. Most of us are optimizing our categories. Most of us are working on a sign-up bonus. So the idea of needing to spend $2,000, $1,500 on one card every single month to unlock those points might make it a little bit of a stretch for some people. I think people that have pretty low rent or mortgages might see some value here because it will be a lot easier to put smaller amounts of spend on one card and then the rest of your spend spread out across other cards. So I can see this being very challenging for people with really expensive rent or mortgages unless they have so much spend in other areas that it's really easy for them to put this much on one particular card. Things are constantly changing. New things are rolling out. People have lots of thoughts, but we just wanted to make sure that you understand now that there are two choices that you can make. Depending on which choice you make, that is the structure that will follow the next month. So you could choose to start with the Built cash option. And then if you're not liking that and you want to switch to the no Built cash and just the percentage of your spend model, you can do that. You can make the change in your Built account and it will reflect the following month according to the information that Built has put out. So we hope that this is helpful and enlightening. Please let us know if you have any questions. We are here for you. We want to help. Can't wait to see you in the Facebook group to talk about all of the things, and we will see you here next time. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We hope you learned something new and feel inspired to plan your next trip.
Remember, we're travelers sharing our experiences, not financial advisors. So always do your own research and make informed decisions.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a Points and Miles tip.
We'll see you next time on Wonderland on Points.